Hi, I'm Stacey Whitman, founder of two books and editor of Trail of the Dead by Joseph Bruschek, which is a sequel to the award-winning post-apocalyptic novel Killer of Enemies. Recently, we had students from Grace Church School in New York City come into our offices to discuss Trail of the Dead with our senior literacy expert, Jill Eisenberg.
So we're going to start out just by saying, what did you think? Did you like it?
Yeah, I really loved it. I read it in 2 days. Picked it up and then couldn't stop reading it. I was like, every free second I had, I read it like on the train, on the bus, wherever. I carried it with me. It was that book that I like carried around with me while I was reading it.
So I want to talk a little bit about Rosen and her style of describing the world around her. You know, she talks with a lot of irony, she's got a lot of sarcasm, who is, you know, has a teenage character. And then also, if you think we can trust Rosen and her perception of the world.
Yeah, I think, speaking on how I saw Rosen as a teenager, she's a really realistic character. She seems like a mature teenager, like very well, like she's beyond her years, I think.
Yeah.
But I think that makes sense characteristically for her, because she's gone through so much with her father and her uncle. Like, that experience alone would change somebody, as well as that this whole world is completely different. So I feel like the teenagers of our time are in a different setting. Like, they're raised, they're in school, you know, like that's the regularity. For her, she's getting to a point where she's going to become the leader. Like, she's the fresh crop of people. So I think it makes sense for her to be. I do trust her descriptions, though, because I feel like she's also a hunter. And so she's looking at things with the perspective of, like, I have to have the best scenario I can possibly get, and what do I have to do to get it? So I think that's also something to consider.
So you don't necessarily think that you could just go out and do it.
Yeah,
none of us live in a post-apocalyptic.
I feel like it's the same way, though, that, like, if she lived in our society, she'd be really confused by the way teenagers our age go around. Like, we have responsibilities, but we're not really trusted yet as, like, to be able to have full control of ourselves. Whereas in this society, she's, like, the leader. Like, they follow her, which is not something that anyone our age would really be considered yet, unless they're in a really special situation.
One thing that I don't know if you guys know is that a lot of Native American cultures have a very special kind of sense of humor about things that might be a little bit different from mainstream American humor. Did you guys get a sense of that Native American, that Apache feel of humor?
I'm thinking about the coyote story specifically, and why they're kind of funny when really, like, it's about this character getting into all sorts of problems, and, like, what it means when we laugh at that. And I think Coyote is probably a very good example of that specific sense of humor, where you're using the story, you're taking something out of it, there's, like, a moral or there's a point to it, but you're also kind of laughing at the bad choices we all make sometimes.
We reminded me of when in African culture of the Akanazi, the spider. My mom didn't tell me these stories when I was younger, but she started telling me one or two of them, and it just reminded me of the spider. So, like, that also
tricksters.
Yeah, tricksters. Mm-hmm. They exist in different cultures by different names, but they're always funny.
I think it was also kind of like some of the coyote stories were almost like dark humor. Some of them were really funny, because it was just sort of like, how is this guy believing that this is going to happen correctly? But specifically the one explaining how, you know, like the woman said she would marry him if she could kill him 4 times. Like, first of all, that premise was funny. But then to see him literally just like get up every day and be like, okay, so I guess it's our wedding day now. Like, that was amusing. I think it added to the story to have the humor be catered to their people.
Yeah, and I think for Joe, he feels that it's important to have those very specific details that are not just like generally feels Native American, but that are specific to a particular Native American tribe or a particular culture, just to kind of illustrate that there's a lot of diversity among Native Americans, and that these are like living cultures that have a lot of, you know, concrete stories and traditions that, you know, it's not just like
that they continue to pass along today.
Yeah. I was going to ask you guys, and we talked about this a little bit when you guys had some questions for Joe, but about the post-apocalyptic world and the cloud. And so, you know, you have these genetically engineered people, you have this culling because you have a population that's gotten too high and not enough resources to go around.
No Mars.
Yeah.
Were there not enough resources to go around them?
Or maybe there were there. And they were not shared appropriately.
Exactly.
Which is also pretty realistic. So my question to you guys is, how realistic do you think this vision of the future is? Could something like this happen? Are we on the way there? Do you think, you know, it's completely, like, out there? What do you think?
I think if it would be possible, it'd be very, very, very far in the future. Because it's dystopian, but it's also reliant on us developing a really serious understanding for, like, this genetic science. Like, to be able to genetically mutate people to a point where the mutation becomes a monster or can be, like, turns into something that mutates to these monsters in the book is very much based on science, more so than you would think when these monsters seem very natural in the world that they live in. And they seem like animals to me personally, like mutations more so of animals than of people, with the thoughts, I think, gives them a little bit more of a, like, persona. Mm-hmm. If you think about it very broadly, it's a possibility if science gets to the point. And I've read other books also where it's things that have to do with genetics. So it's definitely something that's becoming, like, an explored topic. So that makes it even less of a far-fetched idea. So, I mean, it's definitely a fantasy novel, like a sci-fi. But it's not completely out of reality, I don't think.
Yeah, like, this is sort of the thing that, like, sort of, like, makes my mind just spin all the time. And I'm thinking about this world. And my imagination, especially in America, like, we, for the nation that went to the moon, we are pretty scared of science sometimes. Just imagine if we combine genetic science with the politics of abortion. Bad things. So, like, there's, my imagination is that, like, before, like, in the early states of that genetic science, like, there would probably be some sort of, like, congressional crime. And either that, or at the late stage of that, there might be some sort of vote from, like, issues. Like, there would have to be some sort of war to get to this point. So, like, that's where I am with this. But in terms of, like, past all of that, those very scenarios that you have to get past all of the posts you have to get to, it's a very interesting scenario.
Yeah, I agree with what you just said, that rule, how we think it should be ruled. I think this whole world is based on the idea that what one person thinks is right is not what everyone thinks is right, but the people who have caused the world to fall into this type of a, I don't know, crisis, it's like the end of the world, almost like apocalyptic state, is they're not, like, malicious, I don't think. They're not, in their own minds, malicious. But they are to other people, and I think that's an important aspect of, like, for this to happen, someone would have to be born who could convince themselves in the mindset that they are creating something for the greater good and not see that they're, like, ruining humanity.
I don't think we're that far when we talk about the politics with future energy or oil. Yes, we can. There have been times where we have repurposed the economy from agrarian to industrial. That happens.
Yeah.
But, like, we would have, there are a lot of people who have to be retrained that will see this as a public. You can't avoid the fact that those people are going to be pretty pissed off when you close down their oil refinery. Not just the people who own it, the people who work there. People go to work every day, their family depends on that money.
Yeah, I think it exists today, but I think it would have to get to a new level to become this society.